Well, as we get into 2 John, this is exciting. John really kind of addressed this chapter in a couple different areas. One, talks about the areas of the way to the truth in love and a few verses here. But then he also challenges is to really mark those that are the deceiver, are the so-called antichrist, and to know. This is something that, as we know throughout the scripture, God warns us, tells us is to be on guard, that we shouldn't be slumber at any part of our lives. And I really believe as Christians, we need to be on top of our game. And what I mean by that is that we need to be ready in season and out of season. The enemy loves to capture those that are confident within themselves. I always tell people that, especially a lot of the believers, you know, I ask them, what do you think is the most vulnerable part of your life? You know, they say, well, maybe when I'm not reading enough or maybe not be in church. Yeah, those are it. But the most vulnerable part is your life when you're on top of everything. And everything seems to be going okay. Because why? All of a sudden you're not reading as much. You're not praying as much. You're not in fellowship as much. And that's where the enemy hits you. You know, to me, when you know, you think about it. When you're the most strongest in your Christian life is when you're going through a trial. Because what do? We're on our knees. We're praying. We're seeking the Lord. I mean, we're out before church starts. We're out there in the parking lot. We're putting prayer requests in the boxes. We give extra money in our tithes and offering. Because we think, oh, God's going to hear me if I give a little more this week. But that's where we become strong because why? We want to hear from God. But in our lives as Christians, should be every day that we desire to hear from God. Every day we should desire to be in his word. And every day as he reveals himself to us, we're going to see and know when the wails of the enemy, the attacks of the enemy is at our footstool. And this is why, you know, as much as maybe Patricia and I, we travel or I go here, speak here, and sometimes I'll go to a church. But right away I can detect the fact, whoa, this is not good. This is not healthy. And you know, because why? When you're in the word has precedence to the fact that he has what's called the Holy Spirit alarm that goes off. And like, whoa, where did that come from? And so very important. So John warns us in this area here. And so as we open up to 2 John, if you will, turn with me to 2 John chapter 1. And it's actually just the book of John, that one whole area, all 13 verses that we're going to cover tonight. And I just pray that, you know, there's a lot that we've talked about, the trials and about the love and bearing one another and encouraging in our faith and what it is to love one another and what it is to be in Christ and walk in Christ. Well, here John brings that a little more, but he now talks to us about walking in him. So he says, the elders unto the elect lady and her children, whom I love in the truth, and I only, but also they that have known the truth. For the truth's sake, which dwells in us, shall be with us forever. Now, when we hear a passage like this, we kind of like, where's that come from? You know, the elect lady, you know. And, you know, it could be an individual person. It could be, and as he addresses to the fact of an individual person and her children. But I really believe, and this is where some people has a tendency to say, well, maybe be, but to the church and its fellowship. And so John is kind of wanting to encourage this by this letter addressing to everybody, as well as to the first church, as to its members. And he used the word truth some 37 times in the New Testament. And I kind of thought that was quite interesting how much he brings this out in the New Testament 37 times. And I believe because when you really want to make a point, you reiterate it over and over and over. Why? Because you want them to get the point. Truth matters. Truth is important to each and every one of us, especially as believers, that we don't get deceived, that we know what the truth is and the foundation in which God has laid out for you and I. So he tells us, and John tells us that, and 37 times in the New Testament, he writes, the truth does not change. And that's something that we've got to realize. You know, People may change, but the truth will never, ever change. He says, and we have truth for all of eternity, you and I, to know what the Word of God says, to know what God has given us, to know the promise and what God has provided for you and I. Many people today think that truth can change from age to age. Well, as time goes on, things change. You're absolutely right. Time goes on, there's things. We change. You look at us. Hey, some of us, we look and says, man, I wish I was, 20 years old again, and those years are gone. But the truth will never, ever change. Though generation to generation, the Bible tells that the truth will be with us forever. His word never changes, nor does he. God is not like man, like you and I, that will change his ways and readjust his ways. He's a God that doesn't change. He's a God that's very consistent. And his word is just the same. It's very consistent and will never change. And that's one thing that we can always rely on. When we're going through issues in our lives and circumstances, we can always rely on the promises of his word that it's consistent and that he lays it out just for you and I to always refer back to the scriptures. And then verse 3 says, grace be with you, mercy and peace from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father, in truth and love. Now I like to look at when we have grace, mercy, and peace, these are the three amigos that hangs out together. And here we see that these three, that grace, mercy, and peace be with us from God the Father and from Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father, in truth and in love. That we have that all that is provided. And John, as he goes through this, and as he shares that all that we have, the grace and mercy and peace, is for us and from the Father. And yet, that we abide in truth and in love. And we're going to see this later on, why this becomes so important in our lives as believers. Because, first of all, we got to have truth. But it can't have the truth if love is not applied in our lives. Because what happened, what we seen earlier on? If you say that you love God, but you can't love your brother, then the truth is not in you. And so we have to really see consistency in our lives. There's many things, and some of us even tonight, we can say, oh, brother, I love you. You really love each other. But you don't love even your brother at work or somebody done you wrong. There's hurt. And this is where we've got to say, Lord, have I still hung on to this bitterness and this hurt? He tells us that I rejoice greatly that I found of thy children walking in truth as we have received a commandment from the Father. So John, as he says, greatly that I have found thy children. And seeing, and this has always blessed my heart. I always tell people, all the years as being a pastor and a teacher, I've always admired when I see people that gets off alone with the Lord and it just opens up. Gideon's has those little pocket Bibles, and they're easy just to put in your back pocket or your front pocket. The front pockets that we always used to see, they weren't made for cigarettes, to hold cigarettes. They're made to hold the Bible, but they're just little daggers, man, little swords, man. And I love when I see people just sitting off and just reading his word. To me, it's just like, I look and I say, man, that is so awesome because no one's telling them to do it. No one's, they have a hunger, they have a thirst. And maybe some of you here tonight have that, where you get alone or you're in your car and you're listening to your CD or teachings or praise and worship and you just want to take on the flavor of your Savior, just to dwell in his presence and just from all the chaotic noise that goes on throughout every day and the house, the work, the families, the friends, whatever, just a time that you have peace between you and God and allowing God just to minister your heart. And so when he says this, he says, like walking in truth as we received a commandment of our Father. This is what God wants us to do. As I shared as the opening, walking in truth. This is what the commandment that is given. To know that his people are walking in truth, that's one thing he wants to see. To know that you and I are abiding in him and we're walking in faith, walking in truth, While truth is not only for the concern of a pastor to say, well, you know how some people says, well, I'll let the pastor do it. That's what he's for. You know, we sometimes just put it off and we kind of pass the buck per se. Well, let the pastor do it. It's let the elders of the church. It's their job, you know. It's all of our job to look after each other, to care for each other. It is a great concern, and it is also comforting to know, even as pastors and leaders, when we see those that really loves and cares for walking in him. When we see those that are just not drifting, but walking in him, that really desires to say, hey, I want to be used of the Lord. I'm just available. And it just seems like you can't get enough of the Lord. That's when you really hunger for this. And, you know, I think some of you that have prayed, one of my prayers that we would always have a thirst for righteousness and a hunger for his word, because I truly believe that should be every heart believer, every Christian's believer's walk, being hunger for his word and a thirst for righteousness. That it should be the model of our Christian faith. It should be modeled in our life. It should be our character that we thirst, for righteousness, and we hunger for his word. Why? Because we want to get as much. You know, have you ever been to a restaurant that you like very much? You kind of keep going till you burn yourself out. You know, and it's like, well, I don't want to burn ourselves out in the word, but I just want to really have that hunger for his word. Because to me, the more you read, the more you see how much more you need God. You know, I mean, there was a time in my life that I would go through the scriptures and read, and, oh, this is great. But the more I spent time, and the more I spent time, the more I realized how much more I need him and how much more he reveals himself in so many different ways. That's why the Bible is so unique. I mean, we could read a passage, and I do this, what's called a proab. And I do this when I'm doing training, or I'm teaching a Bible course, and I take a group of students, and I would have them do proabs, and I would have them write out several verses and close up the Bible, and I want you to write out what you think it says and what the Bible's telling you. And then I have them close it. I mean, to put it away, and then at the end of the course, or after 16 weeks of classes, I put those scriptures back in and I do the comparison, and you'll see the transformation. Because a lot of times it's hard to see our own personal convictions, our own walk. But then you'll start to say, wow, I answered this way. And now, because his word has so many ways of just ministering to our hearts. It's not that his word has changed, but you know what has changed? It's our heart. And we've got in our knowledge and our wisdom, and we're maturing, we're growing, and God's speaking to us in ways that we're like, wow. This is different. And how many times have we read his word, and his word has come so alive to us, and we're saying, man, I've read this before. I didn't get this last time I read this, because his word is so powerful in the way it ministers to us. But to see those who he loves and cares walking in him and walking in truth. When we see those, it blesses our hearts to watch young men and young women, as well as mature men and mature women, to be in his word, to be in fellowship. And you know, when you do this, you guard your heart. Because all of a sudden you have discernment and you have wisdom, and all of a sudden, you know, when things are not right, that Holy Spirit alarm kicks off, you know, and says, whoa. And why? Because you're in his word and you're in his presence. The same idea is expressed in 1 John 2:24. Therefore, let that abide in you which you've heard from the beginning. If you heard from the beginning abides in you, you would also abide in the Son of the Father. Truth is not only important as its own sake, but also our walking in truth shows our walking with the Lord. You know, when we choose to walk, per se, in the truth, it'll show our evidence in how we're walking with the Lord. Our conduct, our conversation, by how we walk and fellowship in him, our characteristic will show the image of your life. And that's what we see, the results of who you are. You don't got to tell a person how knowledgeable you're in the Lord. You don't have to tell a person how many years you've been walking with the Lord or how many Bible classes you've taken. They'll see it in the evidence of your own personal conviction as you talk, as you express yourself. Now, I've been around a few people, and quite a few people, that When you hear their conversation, and to me, I've always admired these people. Man, it's just, and it's not a show. It's just something natural. You can tell they truly have a love for the Lord, man. They just talk about the Lord. And they talk, and in their conversation, it's very compelling and of just the encouragement. And you're like, wow. To me, it's just, I look at that, and I just admire. And I'm not talking about those that like talk like King Jimmy. Thus saith the Lord, my brother. Thus what God wants you to do. You know, and it's just like, no, just yourself being you, but your admiration for the things of Christ just radiate that love and your conversation. It's like you can just win people the Lord just how you talk, because it just radiates the glory of who he is in you. So he says, and walking in truth shows that we are walking with the Lord. When you're living your life, not a compromised life, but when you're living your life according to the scriptures, to what God wants you to live and how God wants you to walk, everything about you will reflect you walking in the Lord. They will see that man, that woman of God in and through your life. Because why? First and foremost, you're walking in truth, and it'll show your relationship with the Lord. So, you know, people that comes and people that are, you know, or that, you know, they can talk all they want. You know, years ago, and I was doing a conference up at Marietta, Calvary Chapel Marietta Hot Springs, and one of the theme of the conference, I called it proof is in the pudding. Because see, a lot of times people can talk Christ. Many of us, we've been walking with the Lord. We know exactly. You see Pastor John or Pastor James or Dan or you know, or Brandon, you know right away, hey, praise the Lord. God bless you, my brother. How you doing, Pastor? You know, you have all the Christian lingo down. But that doesn't mean it applies in your heart. Outwardly, we look good. Outwardly, we show our Bible and it's all marked up, and you know, we got our Bibles all rugged up, its pages are coming out. It's like, well, it's a well used Bible. No, it's just you get and you throw in the car and pages come out. You know, it's not because you turn so many pages, it's because you tossed your Bible. And so, but you know, it's the reflection of what we have and see. It says, and now I beseech thee, lady, not as though I write a new commandment. So he's telling like the church, and whether this is an individual lady or whether, which I believe to be a church in the early church, he says, I write this. He says, I beseech thee, not as though I give you a new commandment in verse 5 unto thee, but that which you have heard from the beginning, that we love one another. He goes, it's nothing new that I'm giving to you, but something that's always been taught and given to each and every one of us. And that is, that we would love one another. The principle of what, if we love one another, you know what? We wouldn't have hate. We wouldn't have bitterness. We wouldn't have envy. But for somewhere down the way, there's things that has gotten into our conviction, into the fact of what's broken the commandment of the Lord, that we don't love one another as we ought to. The integrity of our Christian life and our integrity of our Christian faith can be measured by our love for one another. You know, you could seem as holy and as righteous and as many years you've loved the Lord, but according to the measure of our life of loving one another, as John tells us in chapter 13, tells us, men shall know who you are, the men shall know that you are my disciples if you love one another. People will know when they see you not talking bad about someone, not gossiping about somebody, not allowing a conversation to go somewhere where it shouldn't go, but that you bring it back. It says, whoa. Rather than saying, why don't we just pray for our brother? Let's just pray for our sister. See, sometimes we allow the conversation to happen. And even though that you're not saying, your presence just being there, saying that you agree. Because the idea, you're there. And I think even as ourselves as Christians, it could be say a lot more than anything else. I remember there's years ago, I remember I was at our men's home and I was doing a Bible study. And this young man, well, he's not a young man. He he had a choice to either go back to prison or go to this Christian men's home. Now, I knew her. I knew his PO was Miss Beckius, and she was just a little gal, but she was filled with dynamite. Everybody feared her, and he came, and actually, him and I used to be old gang rivals back in the day, and he wasn't a Christian when he came in the home, but you know, I was doing a Bible study, and I'm watching him as he's listening, and the guys that were in the home were kind of like talking. And he reached over and he, "Don't you see the pastor speaking? Shut up." And I kept on. And I thought, that was so cool. A heathen rebukes a Christian to tell him to shut up, to listen to God's word. But you know, how many times has that happened in our lives? You know, where we see even the heathen sometimes could have respect. And so here in our own life, we see that they shall know, you know, that we love one another is by how we carry ourselves. And it's so important that we see the importance of our conduct. And verse 6 is this, and this is love, that we walk after his commandment. So he's showing, I'll show you not only my faith, but I'll show you my faith by my works, by what I do. So he tells us that we walk after his commandment. It's not just words being blurted out in one's character, one's life. But he tells us in verse 6, this is love. So he says, here's the foundation of love. I mean, we can talk about what love is. And, you know, a few weeks ago, we talked about the four different loves and what all four different love represents. But here in this particular area, he says, this is love. I mean, it's not just speaking out the words. It's not just telling someone, hey, I love you. It's not just putting roses on someone's doorstep. But rather, he says, let me tell you what love is. Love is an action word. It's not just a four-letter word to say, I love you. But love is actually an action word, which really represents, I'll show you my love, but what I do. It's like, I will show you my faith by how I walk. And so he says here, we will walk after his commandments. This is something that's very practical in our lives as believers. It's not just something that we've, you know, that, oh, we just got to do this. No, it's something that we desire to do, even as Christians, that we will walk after his commandment. This is the commandment that you have heard from the beginning, that you should walk in it. Something that we've heard while back, way back, always has been part of our Christian walk. Something that's never been new. It's always been, the scripture has never changed. And as many years as us going to church, being in fellowship, his word has never changed. It's always been. And it's always been from the beginning of what God has laid out. If we love God, we will obey his commandments. If you truly love God with all of your heart, all of your soul, and all of your might, you're going to obey God's commandment. You're going to do everything you want to do is to please God. Now, I think some of us, if I use a different terminology, by saying the person you love in your life, you remember that first date that you have, the first girl or the first guy or the person you wanted to be impressed, and you were so in love, you would drive hours to get her a bottle of NyQuil if she was sick. Now, you may married her, and he says, go and get the NyQuil yourself. Because at one time in your life, you wanted to be impressive. And you did everything in your power to show how you're not like all the other knuckleheads. It's amazing how sometimes we can clean ourselves up, but yet that dirty old person's still there. It's only for a time. And so here he says, look, I will show you if you would obey his commandments. You would do everything in your power to impress and to show. But as believers, this is what God wants. If you truly love God, then you will obey his commandments. You would follow his direction and what he asks you. You know, sometimes we're the type of people who say, but what is he going to ask me? What does he want of me? He just wants the obedience of your heart. And if you follow the obedience of your heart to do what pleases God, you're going to be a happy camper. And God's going to so much reveal yourself. I really believe there's so many Christians today get so ripped off not by the enemy, just by your own self. We become our worst enemy because you know what we think? Well, if I do this and I can't do this, and the enemy doesn't even have really nothing to do with it. It's just your own stubbornness, your own pride. You know, because why? You've got little hidden things here and there, and you don't want to give up, and it's like, hey, you have much more to see the power of God and what God will do if you just surrender it to the Lord and give it over to him. He says, so obeying his commandments, we do this not because we think his commandment is so heavy and it's like, you know, and I have to do this, and because I'm committed, I'm obligated. No, we don't do it out of guilt. You know, many of us, well, I have to go to church because that's what Christians do. Then I have to go to prayer meetings. Then I have to do a chili cook-off. You know, they want me to do a chili cook-off. You know, and whatever it may be. He says, look, we do this not because we think of God's commandments are heavy burdens. And so we have to do this and do that. It's not out of guilt. I think that if we do things, we do it because we want to please him. Because we see that they are best when we're doing his commandments and following his will, what's best for us. And he knows what's best. He knows our weaknesses and our vulnerabilities. He knows how to encourage us. He knows why it's so important we're in church and all of a sudden there's one particular verse or one particular passage that all of a sudden just lights us up. It's like, wow, I wasn't ready for that. Most of us are not. That's why his word is so unique. And there's been times that we've sat in the pews and the chairs and we're sitting there and all of a sudden, you know, we're hearing something and we're looking at our spouses. How do they know? How did he know? And it's not us knowing anything. It's just God's word has a way of ministering to our hearts. Because why? First of all, he wants to tell you, I love you. Second of all, he says, I want you to be obedient. And thirdly, just obey my commandments. And so if we walk in his commandments and we walk in his truth, people will see our relationship with the Lord. I mean, we don't have to advertise, you know, we are a Christian. You know, there's a song, and I think I shared it probably, you know, a few weeks ago, they shall know that we are Christians by our love, by our conduct, by our walk, by how we fellowship, how we talk, how we encourage one another. They should know this. And yet, these guides and gifts are to us from our Heavenly Father who loves us. Why? He cares for us. He knows what's best. And yet, he has the best interests at heart for you and I in our relationship with him. And verse 7 tells us, for many. Now, here's the part that's really an area that I want us to really look at because there's so many weird stuff. Now, we know that in 2 Peter 2:9 tells us we are a peculiar people, right? We're different. Some of you are just different. Even before you became a Christian, you've just been different. But, you know, he says, look, and he tells us to be careful of this. Now, watch, check this out in verse 7. He says, for many deceivers are entered into the world, who confess not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. Look to yourself that we lose not those things which we have wrought, but that we receive a full reward. Whosoever transgression and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he has both the Father and in the Son. Now, John insists those that do not confess that Jesus Christ is coming in the flesh are deceivers and has the spirit of the Antichrist. People that would literally argue the issue that Jesus is not come in the flesh or nothing more than really setting themselves up and trying to set you up and has become deceivers and actually even marked as the Antichrist when you fully deny the deed. And this is where we see the blasphemy. When they fully reject the Holy Spirit, where they reject Christ for who he is and yet dies without having a relationship with the Lord. And so John very clearly states, he says, look, Those that deny the coming of Christ in the flesh are deceivers. And you right away, you said, well, they just know they're deceivers. Because bottom line is, you can't soften the cushion by saying because they don't believe it's in the scriptures. They have no choice. They're not theologians. They're not scholars. And second of all is that we have the word of God, that which is truth. And the word of God just tells us. They don't believe in the Son of God and yet rejects the Holy Spirit in his word are deceivers. And yet is marked as part of the Antichrist. John warns us against these Antichrists. And he tells us over in 2 Corinthians 11, 3 and 4, where he kind of lays it out and tells us to be careful. Why? Because there are many that's gone out from amongst, not only amongst the church in itself, but you see all kinds. And let me get to what I'm going to say here, because I do want to clarify something. Trying to hold back to what I want to say, but I think I just need to say it. He says, but I fear lest any man, well, he tells us, I fear lest any man's as a serpent beguiled Eve through his craftiness, so that your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. For if he that cometh preaching another Jesus whom you have not been preached, or if you received another spirit which you have not received, or another gospel which you have not accept it, you may well bear with them. You know, he talks about some of these areas of those that are coming and yet bringing another gospel, bringing another Jesus. And we see this, and I'm going to share this in verse 11 to clarify a couple of those things. There are many, and we see some great, and believe me, there's some great teachers at one time that was teaching the word and they drifted off. And they got into themselves, and now they're heretics. And it's sad because at one time, they had it. And, you know, you get to a point, and even as Paul exhorts Timothy, be careful. He says, when you're looking for men of God, and you're looking for those to be raised up, be careful. He says, because there are these, in 2 Timothy 3, he says, these are heady, high-minders, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of the Spirit of God. People sometimes are so intellectual, they lose themselves. They think they got to get deeper into some other things, and, oh, this has never been shared like, and they get off in a tantrum somewhere, and it gets weird. And so he says, look, for as Eve was beguiled, you know, being lied to, you know, and so it's so easy for the enemy to come and just lie to you and deceive you. And says, and this is why it's so important when we're sharing the word or teaching the word that we know what the word is saying. You can take one passage and say, well, it's in the Bible, and goes off on a tantrum, and it's like, it says all that in that one verse? No. But they'll make it seem as though. And so that's why we need to be careful. And that's why he says, look, I fear lest by any means. He goes, those that, you know, kind of lied to Eve will lie to you as well. And through his craftiness. Sin is very subtle. You know, it's one thing to know when sin's there, but it's very subtle. It just doesn't come one morning. Guess what? I'm going to rock your world today. Of course we're going to be on guard. You know, when someone's after you, what do? You're looking out the windows. Looking in your car, looking behind the mirror, looking in the mirror, see if anyone's following. It's called paranoia, you know. And you find this with most people that are on drugs, you know, that they're freaking out. They're after me. Who's after you? They're out there. I know they're looking. All of a sudden, there's satellites everywhere, you know. And it's because you freak yourself out. And because why? Because the craftiness. See, the enemy is very subtle to deceive you. He's not one that just like you and I will just, oh, yeah, we're, you know. No, he's very, he lays a foundation and he builds and he kind of, see, you're okay, you're all right, until he hooks you. It's remember like years, not years ago, but several months ago when I talk about fishermen. You know how the enemy is, Satan's like a fisherman. He knows what kind of lures to put on the end of the hook to bait you. You know, just like what we do when I don't fish because I want to be a good Christian. And I don't want to be a deceiver. No, but it's like You know, and he knows, and a good fisherman will put a lure, and he knows what kind of bait to use. You go to a fishing store, and you've got all these different stinky fish and all kinds of weird stuff. And you put it on the hook, and then you go and get all these different lures and weights and, you know, and all this. And you know your stuff. And it gets out there, and whatever, it's salt water, fresh water, and you throw your line, and you just sit. And I don't get it. You just sit there. And sit there, and I'm just thinking, that must be fun. You're in the sun. Now look at you. You look like a lobster. And then, you know, all of a sudden, the line hits a little bit. All of a sudden, he wills and plays with it. But, you know, that's exactly how the enemy gets us. He knows what kind of bait you like. And he knows what kind of lure to lure you in. And all of a sudden, you know, he waits till you play with it to see you. You know, have you ever seen sometimes the TV's funniest most videos? And you see a dollar bill, somebody picks it and goes and tries to get it, and they pull it, and he keeps going after it. Well, that's what sometimes, like, we do, and the enemy does to us. He tries to lure us in. And see, the subtleness, his craftiness is what he's talking about. He's not just going to come up and tell you. He's going to just bait you in. So this is what got Eve into trouble. So he says, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that all of a sudden you become, you know, the conviction is no longer there. You see people today as Christians, and they have no problem cursing, no problem drinking a Michelob or wine or whatever, or seeping saints, you know, or they just, oh, I just like a sipping. Well, it's more than a sipping saint, you know. You're an alcoholic, man, because you can't do without it. Oh, I've got to have it every meal. Well, you know, your mind is going to get messed up, and it's going to take you away from the truth, because before you know it, it's going to lead to other things. And so here, he tells us, it corrupts from the simplicity that's in Christ. The things that were so appealing, so joyful, it takes you away. And so he tells us, and these are not only opposed Jesus, but also offers a substitute Christ. You know, not only takes us, but a substitute Christ. The spirit of Antichrist will one day find its ultimate fulfillment in the Antichrist that will lead to humility at the end times and rebellion against God, where all true colors are beyond, we'll see. And it says, and the word transgression tells us, has an idea of an ongoing beyond boundaries, that it's just ongoing. Who knows from what end to what end? We never go beyond the teaching of Jesus, of who he is and what he has done for you and I or anyone else. But do you know what these substitutes are? Joseph Smith. Oh, he's a prophet. Muhammad. Hare Krishna. Joseph Smith, and we see Russell and all these different guys that brings, and Buddha and all these things that tries to equal themselves to be, well, he's a good man, just like Jesus is a good man. He's in the same category. No, he's not. He's never in the same category as these guys. I have yet to see Buddha raised from the dead, or Muhammad, or anybody else. But yet, they will give a substitute. Today, you can see on buses and billboards that you can see things that would say Muhammad, or would say, you know, this or that, whatever it may be, or the Book of Mormon. But you know what? As soon as you put Christ up there, contact your congressman. Say that offends you. You know, what's amazing, our whole Constitution, our governing principle in our school education, where all our textbook was the Bible. You know, it's amazing. But these are substitutes. Substitutes that will be, in a sense, of Christ. Given an ultimatum. If there come any unto you, bring not this doctrine, in verse 10, receive him not in your house, neither bid him Godspeed. For he that abideth him Godspeed is partakers of his evil doings and his evil deeds. He says, look, don't, you know, my house, our house is marked by Jehovah's Witness. They don't come to our, they just skip us. I don't even invite them in the house. I just keep them outside. And this is no lie. One time I did this, and it wasn't Jehovah's Witness, it was Mormons. And Patricia yelled at me because I literally watered them one down with the water hose. I was watering my grass, and he kept on wanting. And I told him, look, you know what? No, I'm a believer. Just go on the way. And he kept on, and I said, do you not get the message? And I squirted him with the water hose. I really did. And it's just like, I told you to leave. You know, and afterwards, I kind of thought it was funny, but I was really serious. And Patricia said, now that was a good witness. Well, I was watering the word to him, you know, I was giving him, you know, but the thing was, I don't know why he even said that. Oh, probably because, you know, people that bring in a doctrine, and you know, to me, it's like, wait a minute, you know, when people come in Jehovah's Witness, because I studied with them, so to me, you know, I don't like when people says, today, and especially when someone talks about a certain doctrine or Jehovah's Witness or Mormon, and they give you a few scripture, and it's like, great, great, you mark them down, and now I'm going to pray that you, someone comes here, unless you're prepared to handle it, because let me tell you, they're well prepared on how to answer a Christian. They'll listen to you. They'll tell you. And this is what most Christians do. After they run out of resources, 3 or 4 verses, boom, they slam the door. Oh, I got that one in. No, it's like me watering that Mormon down. That wasn't good. But the idea, and I'm not telling you go and do that, okay? But the thing is to me, is to know. See, when one comes to my door, I use their own. I say, can I borrow your interlinear? And they're like, how do you know that? And, you know, and also not getting this conversation. And then, you know, I get them to a certain point, and I said, why don't you call your overseer and have him come? And eventually one will come, and I says, and he'll tell everybody to go. I said, no, let's have a conversation here. And I'll use their own book, so this way they can, well, that's what your Bible says. You know, so, you know, we get in this conversation, but the idea is that, look, I'm going to tell you the truth, that I'm not going to invite you in. Just as here John tells us, look, don't receive him into your house. You know, because you know that the fact, unless they come to a point where they're going to realize and see the errors of their ways, and especially don't wish him Godspeed. This may also be translated, don't receive him into your house. John may is referring specifically to not allowing these heretics and teachers, or even go out there to them. Well, I know what to do. You know what? Don't even allow the material. You know, one of the things is that we got to be careful of what we're listening to and who we're listening to. This is the warning that Paul gives to Timothy earlier on in his epistles. Remember who taught you and where you received the message. To me, you know what? I have nowhere else to want to go anywhere else but knowing what I know what the truth is and hearing it from the truth. And especially, don't tell someone, especially, you know, and I've heard so many Christians, well, God bless you. Really? You're going to tell a Mormon, God bless you? A Jehovah's Witness, bless you? But, you know, we so freely use these words. We need to be careful because we want our blessings to be blessed upon people that we love and our Christian faith that knows God and loves God. Yes, and we want to be a light and we want to be a witness. But be careful of your Godspeed to those heretics that you don't want to bless them well and wish them well. Having many things to write unto you, I would not write with paper and ink. But I trust to come unto you and speak face to face that our joy may be full in verse 12. So John's preference, he goes, hey, I would love, rather than putting something down on paper and ink, he says, look, I'd rather communicate face to face rather than letters. I'd rather you hear it from my heart. I'd rather that you be challenged by it, that you be prepared for what I have to share to you. But what's important, what's good, because it is writing in ink, and we have it today that you and I may grow and learn from the scriptures in itself. The children of thy elect sister greet thee, amen. He says, the last reference that he says to the elect sister and her children reminds us, though, that we must be on guard against all false teachers and heretics. And the only way to do that, and the only way to develop that, is to be in tune with God, is to have your whole relationship planned out, studied in, prayed up, seeking God in every aspect of our lives as believers. So important in our lives. So important of having the truth is to know that God loves each and every one of us just as we are. But be careful that you don't get blindsided by the enemy. Be careful of where you, even when you're going on vacation. You know, to me, I just don't pop in any church because that's it. I'm going to find a church that I know that at least has some knowledge. If not, call back here at North Long Beach. Hey, I'm in this area. Is there a good church out here? I don't want you to be deceived. You know, it's great to be at a church and get blessed, and when you're on vacation and checking out another church, not to go there. You've got right here. You know, we'll use Frank to stand at the door, handcuffs, make sure you don't go nowhere. No. But just, you're here. But when you're out, and hey, and if you can't find a church, call us. Let us, we'll help you find a church. If you need to go to church on a Sunday morning, you're not going to be here. We just don't want you to be misled. Because there's so many weirdos out there teaching heretic. Oh, they sound good. They look good. Even their haircut, I mean, their hair, just like all in one place. It's unbelievable. But the most important part, making sure they are teaching sound doctrine, teaching the word. Let's pray. Father, we want to thank you for tonight. We count it a great joy and privilege. And as John exhorts us to walk in truth and abide in truth, that our characteristic will show the evidence of our faith by how we walk. Others may see our example of love by how we handle ourselves. But Lord, I do pray that tonight, if we allowed ourselves to get into areas of listening to things that we shouldn't be listening to, being entertained with things that are not healthy nor edifying to ourselves, that could easily cause us to drift. And maybe some of us had drifted at one time in our life because we didn't see the entrapment of the enemy and how he blinded us. And now that we know, Father, I pray that we don't fall in that entrapment again. That you've given us truth. You've given us the word. And you told us what is to love, how others will know us by our love for one another. But the most powerful example that we have of keeping your commandment, keeping your truth, and abiding in you, that as we abide in you, they shall see how we walk in you. So Lord, if we're lacking, may we love you, but we're just lacking some areas in our lives because we've been one that's been entertaining things that is not edifying, glorifying to you. We have allowed ourselves to be caught up in situations that we know that does not bring you glory. We've allowed ourselves to drift to the point where it's almost causing us to drift way further than we ever anticipated. And maybe somehow, Lord, we've lost the zeal. We're not on fire as we used to be. Yes, we love you, but there's a difference. Our love is not so bright as it was before. Our heart has become callous to the things of you. So, Lord, help us to rekindle that fire within ourselves. And as we worship, Lord, help us to be honest within our own self. Not that we have to be impressive to anybody else, but that we want to please you. As Pastor John and the other pastors will be up here, and as we worship, as you may feel led, why don't you just come on up for prayer, that we can pray. Maybe something's going on. Maybe you drifted, and you don't even know you drifted, and you're all of a sudden you kind of like realize, like, man, I really didn't look at it that way. Well, this is a time to just have us to pray with you and encourage you. So Pastor John and Sally and Pastor Dan and Eric and Brandon come up, and we're going to be up here. Just say, be available for prayer. I will follow the Lord.
will break through the noise. I will follow the voice of Jesus. And I will follow the voice. Lift my hands and rejoice. I will follow the voice of Jesus.
And Father, we thank you. We thank you for so much of your love, for loving us when we were unlovable, but you loved us. And Lord, we just want to give all our love back to you and everything we do, how we live our lives, how we've committed ourselves to you, Father. We pray also for our fellowship here, that you would strengthen us as believers. Our pastoral staff, our senior pastor, John, and his wife, Sally, bless them, strengthen them, watch over them. Pray for each and every one of us that you would just strengthen our hearts, our relationship, especially our families that don't know you, that they would come to a place of repentance. And if they do, for those that do, strengthen them. So, Lord, tonight I do pray you would help us to go our separate ways. Bless our time, refresh us, help us to have a good night rest, and that, Lord, you would just be with us throughout the week, in Jesus' name. Amen. Don't forget, Sunday morning, tomorrow morning, James in the fellowship hall, and we'll see you on Sunday, and in your Chile. God bless you.